Rogers & Hollins is the oldest and largest family-owned jeweler in the country, and they stand behind everything they sell. They have an amazing selection of engagement rings, and they know everything about jewelry. And they're the only fine jeweler who offers lifetime repair and replacement against loss of diamonds or gemstones with no inspection required, ever.
Rogers & Hollins, jewelry created for now and forever.
Hello and welcome to Awakening, part of the Converging Flow. You're listening to a bit of happiness by DJ Scott. Kind of reflecting through a little bit. Yeah, I'm happy. Happy is a fleeting thing, so when it's there, it's good. Joy is everlasting. But it's, I don't know where everybody is listening from, but so far people that I've been talking to, they've been saying that the sun is out and the sky is very blue and very clear. And I know of late there's been a lot of transitional, transpersonal energies that have been perhaps more of a deepening for many people. And, you know, after that happens, there's always a breakout or breakthrough, breakdown to breakthrough. And so that little song was a little homage to all of you fellow travelers that have gone deep into your process of late and are breaking out and breaking through. Just remember that it's cyclical. Nothing lasts forever. So if you're feeling a little down or these changes are getting to you, know that the way out is the way through and know that it'll pass. It'll pass. You'll be feeling great again. I want to welcome everyone in the chat and everyone that's listening by phone as well as those that will be listening to the archives later and those that are listening via Twitter. I'm going to have quite a few listeners from there and you can follow my updates at Awakening's tweet and keep you informed also of what's happening and various guests that are coming on and that kind of thing. So, why are we all here? Well, we're here to connect. We're here to dialogue with different teachers, healers, and conscious beings and experts, as well as ourselves. So I welcome calls with your comments, your feedback, and questions, of course, because this is the age of we're our own guru. Even though we're here perhaps and I'm hosting or facilitating and bringing guests on, it's to share their insight, their path, their process, but each and every one of you has something to share and offer too, so we love hearing from you. I love the emails, the texts, and when you call in, it is really appreciated. And sometimes people say, well, I didn't know if I should call in, or I had just a comment. I've gotten some emails about that. And that's fine. We welcome your comment. It's never just a comment. It's always just what's needed to be relayed or said. So those of you that are tuning into Awakenings perhaps for the first time, or you just surfed in or stumbled into it, Awakenings is an interactive live internet radio show that focuses on grounding the spiritual process of awakening. We'll offer maybe suggestions, guidance of how to map this time of transition and change that's happening personally and collectively, which many of us have been terming the shift or the collective awakening. And this is a place to connect in and share your insights and your understanding about the awakening. If you'd like to call in with comments or feedback, or you'd like to call in with a question for our guest, you can call in at 347-539-5122. And again, that number is 347-539-5122. And if you're listening by phone and you have a question or you've called in specifically for a question, just hit number one on your phone. And what happens is a little hand comes up on my switchboard. Don't you just love technology? So wonderful. This little hand comes up and lets me know I have a question. And if you have questions in the chat, If you would either type in caps, and I know that's kind of a faux pas in the email texting world, but I love caps. I don't have any charge on that. I don't feel that you're shouting at me. So what it helps me see, because I have tweets coming in with questions, I have email texting and the switchboard. So if you do that, I'm more likely to see that you have a question or a comment, and it makes the show just really rich. And I appreciate it. The other people in the chat appreciate it, as well as our guests have commented that they really appreciate the interaction, that it's very fresh, very live. And Mystic Light in the chat is putting, I have visions of this little hand morphing out of the keyboard now. Oh, you should be writing stories, Mystic Light. Or movies. Yeah, that would be a wonderful animation. It's a little more static than that, but it does get my attention. It kind of flops up. Yeah, so again, 347-539-5122 is the call-in number. Today we have with us Shivam Coles, who I actually know personally and have actually done some work with her. Amazing hypnotherapist, but amazing, just also dialed in spiritual being, a lot of wisdom, a lot of insight. Shivam Coles is a hypnotherapist, feng shui consultant. She also does this amazing instinctual movement, say a class, but really more of, I would say, a process. She's also the designer of Strategies for Well-Being, a program that has been done for health institutes, as well as the Stress-Less Management Program. Those of you, because I know people in the chat a lot of times like to go right to the person's website. The website is strategiesforwellbeing.com, and that's strategies, the number 4, and then wellbeing.com, and you can get some amazing information on her, as well as get even more of a feel for her. So I want to welcome now Shivam Coles. Hi, Shivam.
Hi, Michelle.
Welcome to Awakenings.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here and reconnect with you. It's been too long.
Yes, yes. But you've always been in my mind, you know, here and there. Think of you and the wonderful work that we did. So.
Oh, absolutely. You're always on my mind, too. And just something that popped into my head right now is I realized when I created my website, I chose some photographs from the image gallery, which you can do when you create a website. And I just realized this morning when I was looking at my website, the image on my homepage reminds me so much of you.
Oh,
it's a woman standing at the beach with her arms outstretched, looking with her eyes closed, looking like out at the ocean, and it absolutely looks like you. Reminds me of you.
Let me see. Yeah,
sorry if we got us off on a tangent.
No, it's
right
a good
away.
Chance. It's a good chance. Well, and, you know, so much, and the listeners here too. I'm always at the beach. I have to live near water, and I do quite a few walks throughout the day. Not just because I have a little animal being, but it really helps ground me. I love the idea of being at the beach and looking out over the horizon, and it just tickles me that when you're at the beach, you're at the end of the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
there's something just very calming, zen, otherworldly, that you see no more land.
Right. And for me, I'm sitting in my office right now, and I have a view of the ocean from my office.
Oh, nice.
And what I connect with when I look out into the ocean or look out at the horizon is vastness and the unknown.
Yes. Oh,
and it actually gives me chills sometimes. And what was really weird is that, you know, my office has this view of the ocean, and what I manifested last year and the end of the year before was I traveled to Hawaii about 14 times for that company I was doing consulting with, Chaos Over. Mm-hmm. And I swear that was because I was looking out at the ocean all the time.
Wow. I'm going to
You know, I just took myself right to Hawaii.
You took yourself right to Hawaii.
Yeah, that was a...
You are so about Hawaii, though. When I think of you, your energy, very fluid. One thing that I do want to dive into your program and such, but I really want to have you share with the listeners your a bit of your path, because everyone that's listening, you have an amazing path, very diverse. And one of the reasons I really want you to kind of share a little more of your unfolding is that I think sometimes so much in our time, especially in these times, there's such a rush that I have to know what I'm going to do forever, or I have to be this way forever, or how is this going to fit in? Now I'm doing this in my life, and how is it going to lead me, you know, to this? You know, people are overthinking that. And to me, when I talk to people like you, or from knowing you, you've allowed this, you talk about the ocean, this vastness of unfolding that's been your life, and it's always linked together, it's always synced together. And I'm sure if you look back at what you're doing now, you could see how it all built to where you are now.
Absolutely. So I'd love to share. I'm going to give like a sort of a brief chronological biography.
It would be great.
In a nutshell. So it started, you know, after I graduated from high school, which happened to be here in San Diego area, actually was Encinitas, I got into business management or retail management, and I was managing a store in La Jolla.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a boyfriend at the time who was going to return to Hawaii. He was a volleyball coach for the University of Hawaii. And he moved back, and I knew that was going to happen, and we parted ways. But then we were connecting by phone, and long story short, I just sold everything, quit my really good job, and moved to Hawaii to be with him. Interestingly enough, we broke up within 24 hours of my arriving. Talk about a little wake-up call. And it was, he had fallen in love with one of the women on his volleyball team, and I was like, well, thank you so much for telling me before I sold everything and bought a plane ticket and came out. So that was my first initiation.
Wake up!
So, hello, there I was in Hawaii. I didn't know a single soul, but I so resonated with the islands. I had been there one time before on a vacation with my parents, and I just so resonate with the energy there, so I decided to just explore. And I ended up on the Big Island, and I ended up staying there and working there. And that is actually where I first started doing massage work. I studied with a kahuna. Her name was Auntie Margaret. She was the woman who designed Lomi Lomi Massage, which you may have heard of.
Well, I've had Lomi Lomi Massage. I love Lomi Lomi.
Yeah, well, she's this beautiful Hawaiian woman, and all the classes were held at her property on the beach, and all the massage tables were lined up on the beach, and she was very Christian, and it was so cute, sweet. You know, we'd do these little prayers before class, and anyway, that's how I first started getting into massage. And it was also my first introduction to the what I consider the enlightened mystic Osho, or he was also known as Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. I started meeting some of his disciples, if you will, in Hawaii, and through that connection, I also became, we were called sannyasins, or disciple, and, you know, spent probably about 10 years on that path, or, you know, with Osho Rajneesh. I went to India twice. I was on the ranch in Oregon where we built a city, and I have felt like that was one of the most powerful experiences of my life, to just have been able to have had that opportunity to be in the presence of a being like that. And just he spoke a lot, and his speaking or discourses were all transcribed into books. He never wrote them himself. They were transcribed from his talks, and just hearing him talk would lead you to silence, and just being in his presence would lead you simply to that still, silent place. Sometimes you would have experiences of the divine, of ecstasy. So he was just a reminder, a catalyst of what's possible. At the same time, his work or his meditations that he designed were very cathartic. He was not about imparting knowledge to us at all. He did not impart knowledge. He did not give us philosophies or ideologies. His whole work was about stripping away, taking away that which isn't true, that which is false. He could talk about anything and everything.
Really?
He would give his interpretation of Jesus and the Gospels. He would talk on Zen. He would talk on Lao Tzu. The words were really irrelevant. I mean, he's very, if you read anything of his, you will immediately see how absolutely intelligent he is.
Oh, I know.
But that wasn't even the point. The point is, even his words would lead you to the still place inside, where it's not about the words.
Mm.
You know, it's like he'd say, you know, don't look at my finger, look at where I'm pointing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's whatever that saying is.
That saying is.
But that was just a very powerful experience for me. And then the ranch ended, and I moved. I felt a calling to move to Europe, so I moved to Italy, and I lived in Italy for a while, and was involved in a Rajneesh commune in Tuscany, which was very beautiful. It was in
great with ashrams, Oregon, like Tuscany.
I know, it was wonderful. Oh my God, it's such a beautiful country, especially the Tuscan area, and it was wonderful living in this farming community. And then I moved to Germany for a while with my current boyfriend at that time, who was a musician. And then that phase was complete, and I moved back to California, to the San Diego area, and continued doing massage work, and then I went to school and became a certified hypnotherapist, and was seeing clients doing hypnotherapy and massage, and also began developing a body of work, which you mentioned in the introduction, instinctual movement. So much of what Osho was about was using our body, was about being in your body, being present in your body, and I don't know if you're familiar with his meditations, but they're all physical. They're all designed to be cathartic initially and then end in stillness. And I also explored a lot of different kinds of dance movement, such as modern dance and African dance and belly dance. And so I just I wove together this body of work that I called instinctual movement, which was really to help people get into their body and feel safe and have it be enjoyable and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And also to let go, to let go of tension, let go of things that are in the way, let go of stress,
mm-hmm.
Use movement as a process to move through things in your life. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, why didn't you think we move enough? I mean, that seems to be, there's this whole thing. And what I love about Osho, I know I didn't study with him personally like you did, or, live in the commune, but I have so many of his books. And just his whole vibe when you research was all about being in the body, being earthed. I mean, we are here. He definitely wasn't one of those yogis or, teachers or however you want to say it, saying, get out. You're not supposed to.
No, it's like, get in. It's like, get in. I don't think we move enough, but I think what has happened with a lot of us is that it's challenging to be present in your body. Really be connected to your body. I mean, you can work out, you can run on the beach and work out with weights and do all kinds of things, but you still are not necessarily present in your body. And even Eckhart Tolle talks about that too. It's about bringing your consciousness into your body, a methodology of getting present is to stay connected to your body. Just feel your feet on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Feel your breath moving up and down or in and out. Feel your hands resting on your thighs, just be here. It's so easy to check out.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying? So the body is a good vehicle to be present.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a joy. I think there's also a lot of challenge, people have a lot of beliefs or ideas or challenges or traumas connected with their body. It's not okay to feel that aliveness, that exuberance, that ecstasy, that coursing energy through your body where you're just feeling so alive. Mm-hmm. You know, that's scary for some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is.
So the work I designed was designed to be, you know, playful and fun, and also was cathartic in its own way too. But it always, the class always ended back, you know, in stillness. And it was very creative, too. I took a lot of different things I've learned, and we put movement to it. I remember I did something for the Deepak Chopra Center for one of Deepak Chopra's weekend workshops. They had me come in and do a movement thing. And I think one of the things he was focusing on was the seven laws of spirituality. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so I did a movement sequence with that where we moved through each of the seven laws of spirituality. So it was just, you know, a fun way to...
Oh, I love that. You know, to move into that.
Yeah, to move and get connected. And it's when you're connected with your body, you're also, I think, more connected to some authentic truths that are going on for you in the moment. It's a great way to feel emotionally what's going on. And that's another reason why people tend not to want to be connected to their body, because that's when they're going to start feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to feel, you know, either current or repressed, you know, anger, frustration, or sadness, or grief, etc. And conversely, also, many people have repressed their joy, their ecstasy, their aliveness mm-hmm. for life, too. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's the movement process I did was just to really sort of blow that all apart to really get that it's okay to feel.
Yeah.
To feel whatever you're feeling, and it will move on like a cloud, you know, passing by in the sky, mm-hmm. but not to repress it.
That's a big piece, I think, right now for everyone, is not to repress or suppress what you're feeling. We've got a call already. Let's see what's okay. I did open the door for that. Hi, 919-781. You're on Awakenings.
Yes.
Do you have a question? Yes. Did you have a question or a comment for Shivam?
No, just listening.
You're listening. Oh, brilliant. Okay. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Hello.
Hello. Well, the little hand was up. Threw me off. What do you think? What can help people get? I love what you say, that it's not, I think this is really important, it's not so much about the movement or movement for movement's sake, but getting in the body and really being present. I know a lot of times we use the term grounded, but I love what you're saying, present. What can help people to be more present in the body, especially as we're going through this tumultuous transition and change that is happening right now?
You know, I think just, you know, in awareness, I think the breath helps. I think just sitting, whatever you're doing, I mean, it helps. It's easier if you start something like that, you know, sitting quietly or just walking on the beach. But you just breathe in and just start being present in your surroundings. You just start noticing what's there, noticing what you can see, noticing what you hear, mm-hmm. noticing any sensations in your body. If you're walking, I feel my feet as they touch the ground. I feel my arms as they swing by my sides. I breathe in, I breathe out, I feel my breath. It's just kind of just bringing the awareness almost back to the present.
Mm-hmm.
But just bringing the awareness back to, and actually scanning the body, and this also kind of connects to my work as a hypnotherapist, and oftentimes the first part of a session is bringing a person's awareness to their body to help them relax.
Mm-hmm.
So I often do this with myself when I'm feeling really tense about something. You know, I'll just sit or lay down for a few minutes and just say, okay, I feel my head. I feel my scalp. I bring my awareness to my eyes and the muscles around my mouth and my jaw. What does that feel like right now? Okay. You know, and if that part of my body could relax just a little bit more, what would that feel like? What would happen?
Mm-hmm.
And you just sort of take yourself through the body, you know, starting with the head and then your shoulders and then your arms and then your hands and your fingers. Just bring your awareness to that part of your body. I think that works for me. I don't know, does that resonate with you? Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I love what you said. I do that quite a bit, actually. And I feel, too, people should know that they can do this while they're walking or wherever they're at. You know, if they're in a meeting or stressful situation, they can just start becoming present of what of the body and what the body's feeling. You know?
Right. Absolutely, without changing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just notice what's there.
Mm-hmm.
Just tune into your hands right now. Just notice what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in your fingers.
Now that's
you know, and then if you want.
And without changing anything, that's a very important thing. Without changing anything.
And sometimes just the awareness of it changes it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I noticed this past week I had some muscular tension in my neck and shoulders. So I was working with that a bit, and I just bring my awareness there, just stop for a minute and breathe and just feel my shoulders. And sometimes just bringing that awareness there allowed them to drop a little bit.
Mm,
you know,
yes.
It's interesting how that works.
It's the awareness.
But then you can always it's an awareness, and you can always take it that one step further once you've brought your awareness perhaps to a part of your body that may be feeling uncomfortable. And if that part of my body could relax or let go just a little bit, what would that feel like? What would happen?
Mm.
And you're just allowing. You're not forcing. You're just allowing your body to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was just, you know, that was a really important part of my life was the movement classes. And interestingly enough, then the person I met, who is now my husband 10 years ago, is a drummer and a percussionist. So he then joined me in these classes, and we had live music. We had live drumming. Of course, and I knew some local musicians. We'd have other musicians come and play too. But I haven't been doing any of those classes recently.
You know, I was just going to ask you because they were amazing. Those classes, everyone listening, I took some of those, and they were amazing,
I've had many people who I run into here ask me if I'm going to do those classes again and would I do them again, and I tune in, and it's just not there right now.
Not right now, yeah.
I keep tuning in and going, and I'm not getting the resonance or the connection.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really say if I will ever do them again,
mm-hmm.
but it's certainly a part of the thread that has, you know, woven, you know, the tapestry of, you know, who I am right now,
mm-hmm.
what I'm doing right now. And then, so, you know, I did healing work for a while, you know, after that, then I also went to the Western School of Feng Shui. I became a Feng Shui consultant over 12 years ago. So it's like all the work that I've done, you know, with massage, hypnosis, the instinctual movement classes, feng shui, it's all about, in a sense, it's all about moving energy. It's all about moving stagnant energy and really helping to create or facilitate a space for people to let go of what's in the way so that they can live a life they love, whatever that might be for them,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, or in their environment. And, you know, I do find that this state of affairs in our environment, our personal environment, whether it's our office, our work, or our home, is very important and, you know, really does affect our well-being,
mm-hmm.
which we can talk about later, too, and talk about clutter and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I took a segue from, you know, what you might want to call it holistic healing work, and I took a segue and decided that it was time to be in the corporate world for a while. And the last 4 years, I've been a consultant with a company called Chaos Over, and we do information management trainings. Basically, it's a training for people in their offices at work to help them work more effectively, more productively. The program really helps to take the stress out of how they work. We certainly, you know, clear up the clutter and give them tools to work more efficiently and productively, which is great for the bottom line of the company. You know, any company will save a lot of money when their employees are working more efficiently,
mm-hmm.
and not spending, you know, 15, 20 minutes trying to find a document, either electronically or paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what do you think that it has to do with the clutter?
You know, I actually don't know the answer to that, and it's something that I've been dealing with my clients for many years, both in Feng Shui and both in this Chaos Over program. There's a lot of various reasons for it. If you want to look at it from a corporate level or a work level, And we address this in our training. Clutter is a way to not have to take responsibility for your life because, God, look what a mess I have here. Mm-hmm. You know, my desk is such a mess. Of course I couldn't find the document. And, you know, yes, I missed that deadline. It's a way of making an excuse for not being all you can be. It's also can be a metaphor or a representation of a lot of clutter or unfinished business internally that's going on for the person.
Mm-hmm.
It can be that more is better, that someone is using it, such as like, you know, overeating or, you know, drinking, that they accumulate a lot of stuff around them and clutter because it keeps them insulated, keeps them from looking at and addressing what needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. It's a way to kind of hide behind stuff.
Mm.
God, there's so many various reasons, and each one is individual.
So it could be different for each person. You kind of just
have to
tune in.
It could be very different. Right. It'd be very different for each person.
Now, one thing, Shivan, do you use your intuition in your work? Because I know you are very intuitive, very psychic. Do you weave that in when you're doing your programs?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not something I think about consciously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay,
mm-hmm.
Let's be intuitive now.
Right.
I think that's just a natural part of how I work is tuning in. And I do pick up things about people, too, about what's going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the process, too. I mean, the intuition is a very important part of how I work.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like, I like it, like how you know, you're unfolding. It's like all of that is in the toolkit, so to speak. It's all of that in here. You're bringing all of that.
Right, and it's funny. I don't think about it anymore. I mean, I am aware that I have a pretty substantial toolkit or medicine bag, and I just trust that I will pull the right tool that I need in the moment for whoever I'm talking to, whatever situation I find myself in. I really don't think about those tools anymore. But when I do think about it, I realize I have a pretty substantial tools to choose from. And I think it's all supported me in my work with people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and helping them move beyond, helping them, you know, reach their goals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I realized in consulting for this company, Chaos Over. I was working a lot in the corporate world with, you know, big companies, small companies. And while our program helped certainly to take stress out of their life, what I realized and noticed was a lot of my clients, or most of them, were still stressed out because they weren't taking care of themselves. They were not eating well. Mm-hmm. They were not resting. They didn't exercise. They didn't have very good resources or tools to deal with challenging coworkers or their boss or, you know, certain projects they were working on. Certainly, I don't know what their environment looked like at home, but certainly cleaning up their environment at work helped them a lot.
Mm.
So I just realized that I just really wanted to get back into doing my own work again. I really wanted to connect with people more soulfully, and that's where this revision of my Stress Less program came in, and I created Strategies for Well-Being, which I'm just launching right now. I mean, this is really just
perfect.
The beginning of that. I'm just launching it now. I just created my website, and I'm going to be at the Louise Hayes I Can Do It conference in San Diego, May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. I'll be at the Western School of Feng Shui's booth doing what we call mini Feng Shui consultations.
Oh, great, great, great. So tell me, you're going to be at Louise Hayes, and we'll put it in the chat also, and then also that those that are listening can
Yeah, I will actually. It's her conference that she puts on every year called I Can Do It, and it's in a different city every year. It's in San Diego this year, May 1st through 3rd. And I will be at the school, the Western School of Feng Shui will have a booth there, and I'll be there doing some mini Feng Shui, what we call mini Feng Shui consultations. And I'll also be, you know, promoting my program, my Strategies for Well-Being program.
Right.
So I'm excited about this.
It's fun. Sounds fun. So tell me a little bit the design, the stress less, and then also the strategies for well-being. Is are those two different programs?
Well, in a sense, well, yes and no.
Okay.
Stress Less was a stress management program that I designed, I think, about 12 years ago, that I presented to some health institutions and some, you know, local companies here in San Diego. And that was focused more on just stress management. And the strategies for well-being is just a revision of that, actually. Let's say, you know, quite frankly, it's a new program.
Mm-hmm.
But it really, it's the seed was planted when I designed Stress Less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I did do Stress Less, that program, it did address the four areas. It really addressed how you take care of your physical body.
Mm.
You know, how, you know, nutrition and exercise. It addressed, you know, mental and emotional strategies to manage stress more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
It addressed the spiritual, and that, of course, is a unique is unique to everyone, you know. But do you, what is your connection to spirit, and what can we do, or what can you do to continue to fill up that spiritual bank account so you can draw upon it when you're, you know, in stressful or challenging times?
Mm-hmm.
And then I did talk about the physical environment, you know, in that program too, because I find that so important, is having your environment not just be clutter-free, but to be a safe, warm, cozy sanctuary that you feel nurtured and supported by.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like that really is what helps, you know, to feed and nurture what our goals are in life.
Mm-hmm. What do you think with this transition that we're in right now, this individual and collective, you know, initiation, transition, awaken, however you want to term it, can some of what you're sharing with others help people to manage what's going on now? Because it's almost like double stress, you know?
Right. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I feel that what I'm doing now is really supporting and helping people get grounded, you know, in their physical body and in their life, so that they can manage any kind of stress or challenge that is happening. I mean, think about it. If you're eating healthy, if you're eating, you know, good healthy food, good nutrition, and you're exercising, and you're whatever that might be for you, that in itself gives you energy and vitality. It creates those, you know, great mood-enhancing endorphins.
Mm-hmm.
It enhances your immune system. So it's kind of a known fact that people get sick less when they're exercising and eating well.
Mm-hmm.
So even just that piece alone of the program helps support people in moving through stress, you know, stress or challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's key. How we take care of our physical body, I think, is key to you know, living, you know, a healthy life, to experience well-being, you know. And I think everybody knows on some level, everybody knows that, you know, in some way. They've heard it. They know that. They need to move. They need to exercise. They need to eat. We all know what the food groups are. We all know about eating more vegetables and fruits, right, and less sugar and all that. But
I do, but yeah, a lot of times people don't. I think people need support. How important do you think support is when these changes, whatever change?
Well, I think people always need support, you know. I need support, you know. I get support from colleagues and other health practitioners and therapists. I make sure that I get that kind of outside support myself. So I think people do need support, but I think people, as far as if my program goes, or, you know, strategies for well-being, I think people need to want it, though. They need to really want to make a change. You know, there needs to be that spark inside that's saying, you know, I know that this can support me and help me, and I, you know, I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and that's some of the work that I do is maybe uncovering what's in the way too, you know, through guided imagery or hypnosis. You know, why is it that, you know, I may have a client who knows, you know, she wants to eat better, she wants to lose weight, she wants to exercise, but there's something in the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where some of those tools that I have can come in handy, you know, where we can go back and see if there's any issues from earlier in life that may have an emotional impact that's causing someone to have fear or anxiety to move forward in that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how important do you think, see, my feeling is as we're moving more into the transpersonal in our, I mean, many of us have been there, but moving more into that, I want to say more mainstream, where we'll be more in our culture. And I, too, had studied hypnotherapy. I'm so glad, because I think that's the new medicine or works like that, where you're working with, you know, subtle energy or anything, vibration, sound, working with past patterns and how to break those up and move forward. I feel that that is what's already happening, is what I've been hearing, actually from more conventional, traditional doctors that I know and that studies, but things like hypnotherapy, that is really on the rise right now.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen
that.
Yeah, there's you know, a lot more doctors are referring out for that or learning that. They're seeing it more.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Right, you're right.
Seeing it more as a cutting edge modality to get to, like what you're saying, if somebody has something, you know, why isn't someone, you know, doing something that they have an idea for or a goal or
right. They
feel that they want to do it, why aren't they doing it? And they're finding that, you know, not only that cuts the time of conventional traditional therapy, but you're also helping somebody really get in touch with a deeper aspect of themselves.
Right, because that's where all our resources are. All our resources are inside,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're not always aware of all of our resources, our creativity, possibilities, and et cetera. And I think that hypnosis is such a gentle, kind, compassionate, you know, therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a very healing and relaxing therapy for people. Are you doing more of that kind of work yourself?
Yeah, I do quite a bit of that, and then had developed this clearing program, 5-step emotional clearing, to do repatterning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a program that helps people, you know, I facilitate that for them or show them how to do that, and then, you know, they can at some point do it on their own. So, no, I'm feeling more and more people, you know, are open to that. And I don't know if you found in the beginning when you started, Shivam, were people a little reticent because of, you know, thinking it was like stage hypnosis or...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And actually, even today, I'm sometimes reticent to use that word, and sometimes
yes.
I prefer to say guided imagery just because
yes.
I think it still has that connotation. When
yes.
some people hear that word, hypnosis, they think of, you know, barking like a dog or...
Yeah, or brainwashing or something.
Yeah,
like
right.
Yeah,
yeah. So... I do, sometimes I am hesitant to even use that word. But really all it is a guidance. It's quieting. Well, you and I know this. Why am I telling you? It's quieting the conscious mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a methodology. It's like akin to meditation, you know, it quiets the conscious mind so you can reach, you know, the unconscious mind where all our resources are and where some of the tangled, you know, knots are too. You know, and that's where we can go in and untie some of those knots.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, contact some of those powerful resources that everyone has that they're not always connecting with, but are there.
Mm-hmm. So for our listeners, what would you say, how would you describe that work that you're doing when you're and you're Ericksonian trained, I believe, amongst other things,
mm-hmm.
study with that focus. How would you describe that, you know, when hypnosis or using that hypnotherapy? What would you say, what is the process when people come to you? What's happening?
What's happening in the process? I mean, I think, I don't know how to answer that exactly because it's always so individual.
Well, I mean,
you know,
as far as using this state, the state of being? What is, if you were going to describe that, I'm just trying to think of for our listeners, how would you describe hypnosis or hypnotherapy?
Well, again, I would say it's a method of relaxing the body and relaxing the conscious mind, you know, to take you on a journey inside so that we can look at more clearly and more easily perhaps some areas of your life or challenge that even you may not be aware of consciously that might be hindering, you know, your progress or your desire to manifest or have something happen in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a way, you know, to contact and reveal some of your powerful resources that you have that you may think are lacking, you know, like courage or creativity or being able to speak up for oneself. And it's a way to connect deeply with that powerful part of yourself and weave it back into your conscious life.
Mm.
I'm not sure if I answered your question, though, Michelle.
Well, what else would you say?
I'm
just thinking for those that to kind of get rid of some misnomers. I'm just trying to think of ways, you know, and I agree with you. It is that meditative state. It's the transpersonal state. It is our natural state. We're using that. But I love what you said. It's like quieting that rational mind or conscious mind.
Right.
And
it's also getting fully engaged in a process. So, you know, if someone came to me and they wanted to lose weight or whatever, you know, we could create a powerful, you know, once we looked at maybe some of the emotions or some of the things in the way of that, then we could create a very powerful guided imagery where the person sees themselves over a period of time weighing less and less and how they would feel when they weigh less and what would they be doing and what are they wearing. Because we all, you know, you and I know, it's like your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between what is real or imagined.
Right.
And that's why hypnosis is so powerful, because we can use this guided imagery to create these new neural pathways for people to start heading down the path of where they want to go.
You are altering neural pathways.
I think so, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely think so. And you know, for people who don't understand hypnosis or have misconceptions about it, you know, how I like to describe it as a metaphor is like when you watch a movie.
Okay.
You know, have you ever watched a movie where you got so involved and so engrossed in the movie you just forgot who you were with and where you were? And, you had all the emotions and the intensity and the fear and the sadness and... But you were just watching a movie, but everything else around you disappeared, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I like to describe to people that you've gone in and out of a hypnotic trance frequently throughout your life. You just haven't noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
Being that, you know, when you're in that state of watching a movie and being totally involved, you're in a hypnotic trance.
That's right.
You know,
so really, in a sense, I feel like
it's a very common, it's a very natural state.
In a sense, you're helping people, you're in a way, too, training them to tap into that part of them or use that state that's natural, you know.
Absolutely, and I always like to, I always teach my clients self-hypnosis so they can, you know, do at least, you know, some deep relaxation on their own. And even do any kind of, you know, mini process work on their own.
Mm-hmm.
I always teach my clients self-hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
I really want people to be empowered to be able to do things on their own.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to be empowered not to have to depend on anything outside themselves all the time and begin to learn to tap into and utilize, take responsibility, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In a certain way. Of course, obviously, that doesn't take the place, you know, of doing process work with a therapist. Obviously, that's necessary and needed and important, too.
Yeah, you need a coach. Well, sometimes you need somebody external. I have coaches or a mentor I work with. I worked with you. I think sometimes, you know, it's good to have that other viewpoint.
Yeah, right.
Other energy coming in is really also
it's another energy. Yes. And it's an outside influence, someone who's not in the, you know, in the forest and the trees.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you are, like we are sometimes, not you, but.
That's right, but in general. And, you know, Tammy in the chat's putting personal responsibility. And I find that true, you know. I don't know about you, Shivan, but I've changed even the way I've done classes or workshops. I have people tell me, what are they bringing also? What do they share? Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Their own gift, because, you know, everybody is bringing something. They're, you know, even
right.
if somebody's coming to study, or let's say coming to you to learn about stress or reducing stress, or coming to you for hypnotherapy for us, they still have their own inner knowing and their own inner wisdom. And I think for a long time we had some kind of model. I never subscribed to it, but I kind of woke up one day and said, whoa, I have to more consciously let people know I don't subscribe to this. There was this model that when you go to somebody, and I think this keeps people from reaching out and getting help, but because people think that if they're getting help on something or assistance, something's wrong with them, or they should be able to do it on their own. So they let go of their own personal power or empowerment, or somehow they forget, well, they have insights too. Just because you don't have insights in a certain area, or you need assistance in a certain area, or guidance or facilitation,
right.
doesn't negate all your other, you know, your knowings in other areas, right?
Absolutely. That's great. I like how you said that. You know, that I think some people do fall into that category where they're afraid to ask for help because I should be able to do this on my own, or I need, you know, I
yeah.
should know this myself. And I think probably it's people more like us that do that.
Yeah,
therapists.
Yeah, maybe that's
right. Probably. I mean, I can certainly resonate with that one, what you just said. Are you kidding me? I have all the tools. I think I can handle this myself. And, you know, that's, you know, I'm doing myself a disservice when I do that.
Yeah. yeah,
I can't do it all my own either.
It's sometimes just the, I look at it in sometimes if I think that in the past that, you know, because coming at from the, you know, all the, like you, study and training and, you know, that you know, and a lot of times you know what to do. Sometimes it's just you need that extra energy and you need to do whatever it is you need to do in a different way. Someone's bringing that peace to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember I think it was last year, but it so got me, and I, in a sense, happened in different ways. But I was doing a workshop, and I had my iPod there for music, and everything was getting set up, and that little sucker was not working. I did everything. I mean, I pushed the button, I did reset, blah blah blah, and then finally I realized. I thought, I hear this flat. You need a different energy. So I just left it. And some guy, I don't know what it means. And I've since had that happen a few times where if something's not working, I'll just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll ask for somebody to help, you know, and I'll say, okay, would you, you know, do this, or you do know how to do this? And it could even be the same thing I was doing, but somehow when they do it, it's like, you know, sometimes it's been something I didn't know, you know, like, oh, you flip this or you do that, you know, rather than struggle, because eventually, of course, you'd figure it out.
Right.
But it's to pull back and say, you know what, I need some energy here, extra energy here. Like you said earlier, you don't have to do it all alone, you know. And I think that stepping back and letting another type of energy come in ultimately uplifts you and inspires you. Otherwise, you're using your own energy all the time for everything.
Right. Oh, I like that. That's great.
Yeah. It's.
That's great, Michelle. That's great.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know exactly what it means, but I do know that I felt better. I don't care. But I
know what it meant.
Yeah, I just know when that that was.
Oh.
Yeah, I just know when that happens, I just know to just step back and go, something else is going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're needing a shift of energy or more energy or different or complementary energy. It can be a different kind of energy. It's I look at a lot energetically, and I think sometimes people get hung up on what does this mean? We don't know. It's like seasoning something. It's the combination of those spices that make everything work. So you can't say, you know, why'd you put that much salt? You know, why'd you put that much pepper? Why'd you put cardamom in there? You know, I don't know. Somehow, I mean, aren't there dishes, there's some dishes that they have a weird mixture of something, but yet, especially Indian dishes, but they taste.
Yeah, right.
Right? They taste amazing.
Yeah, when you said cardamom.
Did you get the Indian?
Because that's in my little herb basket is cardamom, and sometimes I just put cardamom in things that are not an Indian dish. I go, wow, why did I do that? But it comes out perfect. You know,
and it's
this thing of, I think when, you know, when we're working on something or we're in a challenging spot, I think that we're, our upbringing or the, we're taught to push through, you know, to keep pushing at it, figure out why it's not working, you know, keep going. And, you know, it's, that's been one of my great lessons is to just stop, leave it alone.
Yeah.
Something's not happening right now. So just, you know, leave it alone right now.
Yeah.
And I always trust that the right thing will come to bring that to the, to where it needs to go, whatever it is. It's really a lot about trusting, I think, you know, trusting life's process, trusting yourself, trusting the process of life to move you where you need to move, say what you need to say in the moment. It's really trusting that, and for me, I think coming more and more to that place and acknowledging that in myself has happened through a lot of undoing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has happened through a process of eliminating a lot of beliefs, ideologies, philosophies, and just coming back more and more to just basics of being present. Yeah, I love Eckhart Tolle. I find him, you know, his work and what he writes about so powerful for just about any kind of challenge or circumstance. Because I find that that's a lot of how we get challenged is we go off, you know, if something happens and we react and then we're emotional and then we're off, then we're creating stories in our head about it and enrolling other people in the story. And really, if you just can bring yourself back to the present moment and just pay attention to what's around you, what's in the environment, it can really help alleviate a lot of the stress that goes along with, you know, challenging circumstances or whatever. It
just
helps get out of the story about it.
That's why I feel, you know, things like toning, sound healing, hypnotherapy, emotional clearing work, repatterning, alpha theta healing, pranic healing, on and on, whatever that's using that state, I feel that that's where we're moving more into that realm. And eventually, the mainstream, I feel, or more conventional or traditional medicine, that will be a even more active component, because the story, I think there's a place for the story and to get into the story, but even if it's a past life story, honestly, we have to get out of that and go into the energy or the energetic matrix of what's going on, you know, to repattern from a feeling level that you don't have to always, because if you hold on to the story, you're recreating it, you know. I don't think
right? Yeah, absolutely. I think you're keeping it in place, you know, you're anchoring it.
Yes,
you know,
anchoring
story.
Every time you keep, you're creating new thought forms to hold it in place.
Right, but the thing about the story is, and I don't necessarily always want to do that much work around the story or hear that much about the story, because that's what it is, a story. What I'm getting at is, you know, something happens to someone. You know, their father yelled at them when they were 3 years old and embarrassed them in front of their, you know, friends, whatever. You know, then you create a story about that. You know, there was the what happened. The what happened was the father yelling at the girl, but then there's this humongous story that goes around it that I think it's good to become aware of it to see that it's just a story.
Yeah.
You know? A lot of things happen to us every day, but we have to be careful about the story we create about what it means.
Mm-hmm. absolutely. Yeah. And I think what you're saying too, though, see, there's a place for the story, no matter how great it is. Right? I mean, no matter what dimension, what planet, what you, it's a great story, though. We have to know when to release the story to move on.
Yes, right? Exactly.
It's like, then you're just you're recreating it. And it's only through that state that you're talking about, that meditative state or that very present state, that we really shift and can live differently.
I really feel that to be true, because I think that's where we really are then creating new neural pathways.
Yeah.
You know, to start making, you know, new and better choices that support, you know, where we want to go,
mm-hmm.
and what we want to be experiencing.
You know, what's interesting too about that is that the neural pathways, the new pathways, are not created in the beta state or the cognitive mind. They're created from the meditative state or that expanded consciousness.
Right.
There has to be that electrical charge or that tingle that happens to get those pathways, you know, created and kind of rerouted and grooved in. So we have to get, what goes back to what you said earlier, Shivam, about the movement or instinctual movement, we have to go back to the feeling or the feeling tone, whatever we're doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting because people are trying to get away from the feeling or the emotions, but you have to actually get into the energy and motion and beyond that into the feeling or the sensing to really shift something. Someone's saying something.
Right.
So
going, like you said it earlier, I think before you introduced me, it's about going into it rather, you know, not repressing it, not suppressing it, going into it. And that doesn't mean, you know, ad nauseum expressing it all over the place either, you know, and throwing it out on people. That actually is a story. That's an emotional story, and I think that just also perpetuates the story on an emotional level.
Yeah.
It's kind of cathartic, you know.
I know someone that needs to hear that. That's great.
Oh, good. Well, I hope they're listening.
No. Yeah, because sometimes people, you know, or start getting empowered or we start learning some new tools, and then we think that it's like, well, I just need to release this now, or I'm not going to take this anymore, or I'm just going to release it, or it's time for me to release this, or I'm going to talk to them about this. And that, I like what you say, that still is a story. I didn't think of it that way. That still is a story. Wow.
Yeah, I got involved in the last couple of years with this great edition or a copy of an I Ching book, I Ching readings. Do you know what the I Ching is?
Is it Carol K. Anthony?
Yes.
I had her on the show.
Hannah, you had them on the show?
Yeah.
I'm sorry I missed that.
They're in the archive.
Oh, my God.
I've been using her book since the early 90s. I've gone through two.
Oh,
that's how scattered they are. We're in such an alignment.
Oh, that is so great, Michelle. Well, you know, and it's Carol, and I've been reading the Big White book by Hannah Moog and Carol Anthony, and then I use her small book. But for me, that process of using the I Ching in the way that I've been using it has been just a very powerful way of chipping away and seeing where my ego is in the way you know, whatever I'm doing a reading about. And usually when we do a reading, it's because we want insight into something or we're having a challenge or a problem. And I have been so amazed at how right on and perfect it revealed where my ego was, you know, the cog in the wheel.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got onto this. And I think I was going to make a point, but I don't remember what it was.
No, I'm just so tickled. I knew it had to be her. Because her books are the only books you can't BS yourself with. I have studied
it. Exactly.
Listen, when someone tells you an influence is about to happen and the pigs are swimming with the fish, you go, wow, an influence. I'm about to do something great. And pop, you know, your ego just goes there. But,
right.
You know, in those older translations of the I Ching, But she's so, yeah, her translations. You have to listen to the archive because she talks about it. It really was guided, the channeled info to how to, on the meanings. She had been studying.
Oh, that's so great. I am so happy because I know Tara's school has sponsored her to, and she's come down to San Diego to do workshops, and I missed both times she came down, and so I will definitely look in the archives. But I find it always really helpful. Oh, I know what I was the I Ching, doing those readings. I just remembered the point I was going to make, which was instead of when there is an issue I have with someone, where in the past I may have thought, oh, I need to be authentic and honest and confront him and tell him my feelings about this.
Yeah, right.
What I've learned from the I Ching is that's my ego, and not to allow, maybe the person I'm speaking about did not take right action and was not appropriate. But I can say that silently to myself. I can make that acknowledgement, but I don't have to confront in that way because then it's two egos. It's two egos meeting each other, and usually a bigger mess ensues from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I've learned to be more quiet in those situations and just let them unravel themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually do in a more perfect way.
They do in a more, I like what you say, in a more perfect way.
In a more organic way than my intervention for my ego. Oh, well, I'll show him. He was wrong. That wasn't right, you know. It's very interesting. I found that my work with the I Ching very humbling.
Yes.
Very humbling.
Well, and I have found most of the times when you feel pressed to say something or do something, it's coming from the ego personality because, you know, as we know as metaphysicians and the work that we've done, and as well as if you look at the Taoist tradition of the I Ching, the way, the easy way, we have an inner plane. There is a subtle plane that connects all of us. There is no separation. So that person, if we don't insert our ego into the situation, that person gets, even if they don't get it rationally or on the surface mind, consciously, they get something happened. And if we don't assert our ego in, there can be, like you said earlier, an organic shift.
Right. And I have found that happens more and more when I do this sort of work on the silent, on the inner plane.
Yeah.
When I do this kind of work. But again, it was also very revealing in showing me how the many subtle and insidious ways that my ego inserts itself into my life.
I know. It's going to be good. Oh,
and
yeah.
That's what I mean. It's been humbling. It continues to be a very humbling practice, you know, in my work with clients, with my, with the owner of the company, with Chaos Over, with my husband. I can just see it was just amazing all the things that got revealed about how righteous and right I was. And how I, you know, and so, the one thing I don't like so much is the language that's used. As a hypnotherapist and NLP practitioner, I am very cognizant and alert to language, and that's the one thing that I have some issues with the I Ching books is the language they use, you know. I always have to reframe it a bit so that it doesn't sound like it sounds.
Right.
Like they talk about poison arrows, sending people poison arrows and all that
stuff. Well, the old I Ching, right?
The old, Well, even they say that too, heroin.
There's a lot too that I, but you know what? I think you find that too, though, that at some point, and that's what I was saying earlier, is if you're bringing your own inner knowing and wisdom and life experience, your own personal truth into whatever it's the therapy session or coaching or healing or workshops or a book, even a book, you can just release a charge and just reframe it, you know. And Tammy's putting in the chat, reframe it, keep it current. Yeah, current, but also, like, you don't have to necessarily – because I agree, there's certain things that I don't, it's not in my belief system that I want to do to somebody or intend to someone or think that's happening to me.
Right.
So like you say, you can just reframe it. And then you're keeping your inner wisdom and your inner knowing in the equation. You're not giving your power over just because you read a book. You have to do everything that they say in that book, you know.
Right. And that's, I would say, pretty much how I've used it. You know, there's such pearls in there. You know, sometimes, sometimes you have to wade through a little bit of hay and grass to, you know, to find the pearl too.
That's right. That's There's, right. Yeah. That's life.
Yeah, that's life too. The pearl of wisdom. So I've really enjoyed that teaching work.
Yeah, it's good. All of you that are listening, if you want to, you know, it's a good, I feel it's a good self-development, a good personal tool or process, because it's pretty straightforward. But then again, if you want to, any of us, if we want to fool ourselves, we can anyway, you know.
So, yeah, right.
No matter what you want to do, you know.
That's true. We have to be, yeah, we're always going to bring our, you know, we have to be aware of or cognizant of our filters,
yeah,
too, that we're bringing to something at any given time. Interesting.
Yeah, and I think that's a big part of it too, is that we're reframing our own filters so that we're not, you know, so we're keeping current, we're keeping fresh, we're keeping in the present time or present moment.
Right, and that's what I feel that my personal path has been in the last few years. Has been along the lines of the work that I've done with the I Ching, which is an undoing. You know, it's not about accumulating any more knowledge or any more tricks or, you know, any more philosophies or ideologies. It's more of an undoing. I'm in a process right now of undoing and letting go of a lot of head knowledge, intellectual knowledge, and beliefs. And it's just, I'm sort of clearing the slate, it seems like. I've just been guided to be on this path right now. I've just been guided there.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, I don't want to say live a more simple life, but it's like my thoughts and ideas about living, you know, a life of well-being or living a life that you love is just a more simple.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot more simple for
you. Yeah. There's an organic process that happens that if people allow it, is there's a natural kind of accumulating or taking in. There's a time of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a time of unwinding. And some people miss the boat on it. Some people get it. And it's a beautiful process when you see people doing that, when you're so filled or fulfilled. And then there's that, you know, releasing or letting go. We've got a couple of questions here. We've got someone on the line. So I see you, 334-365. And then I'm not sure if a question or a comment, someone's saying that, let me go back to it. What was it? Da, 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 about love. Is it the love that affects you or loss? Love affects you, or does the experience of loss affect you?
Is that a question?
Deep love that makes you lose, makes you hurt more. The deep love makes you lose and hurt more. I think both. I think the love is always there. I think what affects us in the loss is the expectation that something's going to be there in a form or, because the love is always there. You never, even think about it, if those that are listening, think of someone that you loved or something that you loved. If you think about it, the love is there. Even if it's a relationship
right.
that went sour, you know, or not to our expectation,
right?
The love is still there. It's the loss. It's the you know, the expectation that wasn't met, the disappointment, perhaps the physical isn't there.
The missing, you know, and the loss, there's just the missing of that, whatever the loss is.
Yeah.
A person, a job.
So true.
I mean, I think Roby touched on that. I just thought of that in her dialogue with you when she talked about her marriage ending.
Yes.
And how they still absolutely love each other completely, but they just realized it was time for them to part.
Yeah.
So she just acknowledged there was such a deep love still there for each other. But at the same time, she even said she experienced, you know, some pain and some darkness or whatever she said. I don't remember exactly. In the loss of that relationship, the changing of the form,
yeah,
you know, into something else.
And that's going to happen. People have to realize that's part of the game here, that deep bonding that we all have, but, you know, that, but yet to be detached, but to have that deep bonding, that love. It's part of that play of polarity. Let's see line two here. Hi, 334-365, you're on Awakening. So do you have a question or comment for Shivam?
Peace to you both.
Peace.
I was enjoying the show, and first-time listener.
Oh, welcome. And what's your name?
My name is Queen Goddess Uokis.
Oh, Queen Goddess. Welcome. Welcome. Well, you're on.
Welcome.
With Shivam Coles.
Well, I thank you for allowing me to communicate with you both, which is really why I called. I thought these two women feel comfortable to me. They feel like I should be formally introduced to them and connect to them. So that's what I've done. I, you know, brought the energy closer.
Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for the peace. I love well wishes.
I do, too.
Yeah, I really do.
We cannot acknowledge each other enough and send blessings each other's way enough.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I agree. Wow. Well, continue. Did you have a comment?
It's very interesting, the diversity of it. And how have you recognized the shift when it's time to make a change? And I'd just like a little more insight on feng shui in terms of addressing clutter.
Mm. Did you?
Absolutely. Well, I'll let Michelle answer the first part. Mm. I'll let her take that first part, and I'll talk about feng shui after that.
Okay. Well, Shivan, how did you know to make the change? And I'll touch on it, too. I can say for me, it's an inner prompting. There's a subtle shift, and I think what you said earlier, Shivan, was so important, the awareness. If we're being aware of our surroundings and aware of how our body's feeling and aware of, oh, I had this thought, if we become really aware, not conditioned, if we begin to uncondition ourselves and be aware, there are little signs, many signs, that something new is coming in. And you can be, right?
It happens in such an organic way. I mean, I think it starts with thoughts. You know, a certain thought keeps coming up that I peruse and, you know, mull over and fantasize about. And then it's, you know, then I kind of will notice feelings in my body when I think of making a change in a new direction, how my body feels. And there'll be like a quickening or a sense of aliveness, a sense of joy or a sense of more vitality or something. I think it's, you know, like a gut level feeling, that kind of thing. And it's intuitive too. It's not something that I can answer or am aware of on an intellectual level so much. It's an inner feeling. It's an intuition.
Mm.
It's just an inner prompting. It's time to make this change. It's time to do this.
Yeah.
It feels right. And that doesn't always mean that it's easy either.
Yeah.
Of course, once I get that part and then I decide to do a change, then sometimes I'll have other things, emotions coming up about it. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God, what are you doing? You know, I wonder if you fail. I wonder if it doesn't work. And, you know, all the little stories, the little chattering, blah, blah, blahs, you know, put in their two cents.
And that's where I think support is. I'll share something for myself that works for me is that, sometimes the new direction, because it's new, even though it's something maybe we really want to do, it can be a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be a little fear in the stomach, like, oh, a little fear feeling, or can I do this? And I think for me that's where support comes in with, you know, friends that are supportive, that are life enhancing. I tend to go where the yeses are. If I know someone that's a negative Nelly, oh, are you sure you're going to do that, Michelle? Oh, that'd be great, but that could be hard. I don't tell them. And also a coach, what do you call a life coach, therapist, you know, someone like Shivam. I seek out, or someone that's already doing what it is that I want to do, or that has that extra energy or strength that can help me actualize what I want to do, even though I have fear on it or fear about it.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I mean, that is very important, too, to find that support, whether it's with colleagues or a therapist or a coach or friends. But also, I think, in the process of making a change or a big change is to break it down into small steps. And that's another thing that I also utilize when I'm working with people in my Strategies for Well-Being program, is to break it down into small bite-sized steps. Sometimes it's those thinking that you've got to take this big leap off a cliff can be, you know, so frightening. But you can begin taking small steps, bite-sized steps. And that's actually, I got that information from a book called The Kaizen Way. It's actually mentioned on my website. But it actually helps people make new neural pathways in their brain to make changes that are and not be frightened or overwhelmed by them.
Mm.
By taking the small steps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, if you wanted to change careers, it's not like you just, you know, you walk into your job and give 2 weeks' notice, and then there you find yourself trying to figure out what you're going to do. It's like you just start taking little small steps, like, you know, going online and researching a new area, or, you know, trying to contact someone in that field and talking to them about it. You know, just finding, I help my clients find ways to take small steps towards their goal. That helps that fear-based mind quiet down a bit. Anyway.
And then on the clutter, what do you see, because Queen, that was your question about, is it more of how do you move through clutter, or what it's representing? What is your question on that?
Well, it any answer would be acceptable pertaining to clutter, but in terms of your response to the break, making the new pathways within the brain seems to resonate with me symbolically with the clutter, making by moving the clutter, it's the same. I mean, they go hand in hand.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's a great analogy.
Yeah,
I mean, it's very true. I you know, I sometimes like to explain clutter. Like we all know, like what Chinese medicine is, or acupuncture, and an acupuncturist puts a needle, you know, in a specific place to move energy. You know, and moving clutter in your home is like doing environmental acupuncture. You know, it's just really moving energy. That affects all different areas of your life. Without getting into all the nuances of feng shui, there is a tool we use called the Bagua map, which overlays on the structure of your home or business, and it divides that piece of property into 9 different areas or aspects of life. So if you have a lot of clutter or things that you don't love or things that are broken that you're not fixing, they can affect those areas of your life. And it will. It can. You know, and clutter is anything that's broken or unused or unfinished or unresolved, things that you tolerate that you don't like. Being disorganized is clutter. It can be things you don't use anymore, that you don't need, or that you don't love. Oftentimes people have furnishings and artwork that they loved at the time. They acquired it, and over a period of time or years, they realize that they actually, you know, don't love it anymore. They don't like it. They don't like looking at it. They don't like sitting on that couch anymore. What happens is every time you sit on that couch that you don't like, or that's uncomfortable, or you're looking at objects around you that really don't call to you anymore, it actually has a negative pull on you. It's not chi enhancing. It's not energy enhancing. It's not bringing vitality. It's actually shutting down the energy. So clutter can be so many different things. And it will certainly, you know, can affect your prosperity, your health, relationships, creativity, spirituality, well-being, everything. And there's some very interesting correlations that go with clutter, too, because, you know, clutter really does block the flow of chi or energy, you know, through your home or your office. And this can make or can contribute to a feeling of being stuck physically, emotionally, or mentally.
So as a feng shui expert, what's the basis of that? Is that it can be in all areas of someone's life? As well as the physical aspect? Are you helping someone?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's they kind of go hand in hand, but as a feng shui consultant, you know, where we would work initially is looking at the physical environment and, you know, addressing areas of physical clutter in that person's environment, you know, in wherever that is. That may or, that will be indicative of some form, usually, of emotional clutter or something going on internally, which a lot of times will just get cleared out from clearing clutter, will just simply get released, or it brings it up in a way that you have more clarity to look at it and deal with it. But it can also cause things. I mean, having a cluttered environment can also kind of cause someone to begin gaining weight or feeling lethargic or depressed. It can decrease the flow of energy and prosperity. It contributes to feeling disorganized and confused. It blocks new opportunities and possibilities coming in. It can, you know, contribute to feeling exhausted or drained. And having a lot of items from your past around you can also make it difficult to stay in the present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things can take longer. It can cause you to procrastinate. So clutter is really, you know, to me, the clutter issue is the foundation principle of feng shui. Mm-hmm. And that really has to be addressed first, you know, before you can go on to the more finer subtleties of using the tools of feng shui. You know, and clutter is anywhere. It's everywhere and anywhere. It's behind doorways and hallways and cupboards and drawers and closets, medicine cabinets, under beds, garages, sheds, yards, desktops, counters. You know, it's just clearing that, you know, clearing up the chi so things can, you know, flow more smoothly into your life. More readily. I don't know if that answered your question. Let me know if you have any other.
Did that answer?
It was quite helpful. And even in your saying, I think you touched on this, you're saying once you remove the clutter, it can bring up other things.
Absolutely. Yes, it can. Because it's going to show a person maybe what they're hiding behind, you know, what they've been hiding under the clutter emotionally or energetically.
Great. Powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, and it can be kind of scary, too. And I'm going to, on a quick side note, I've recently was working with a client helping this person purge their garage of old boxes that had been with them a very long time, and he needed the presence of someone to keep him focused to do that. And I did it a few times, and I was emotionally drained at the end of each session. I was physically and emotionally drained, and I actually had to tell him I could no longer, you know, be the presence to watch him purge because it was affecting me emotionally. There was such, he was going so deep into some old stuff that I tend to be somewhat sensitive sometimes, so I picked up on it. But and, you know, a person is ready to do it when they're ready to do it. You know, you can't force this on someone.
No.
Either.
You have to be ready.
I mean, they have to be ready to begin addressing that part of their life or addressing what's in the way.
Wow.
Can't be forced. You know, we're all going to the same place, and we'll all get there.
Different time, different way, different vehicle.
In different ways.
Thanks,
right.
Queen. We're winding out. We've got two
Thank
minutes.
You.
Thank you for calling in.
Oh, very, very interesting, very enjoyable, very therapeutic and healing.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you.
And thanks for the
Thank you for
out.
Calling in.
Yeah.
My
Blessings.
Pleasure.
That was great. Well, if you know, what I want to say, if people are feeling that call or feeling the time is right for you and you feel a resonance, do get in contact with Shivam. You can go to the website strategiesforwellbeing.com. And those of you that are listening in the archives or iTunes and other podcast stations, the strategies for, and it's the number four, wellbeing.com. And there's great resources on the website. You can get to know a little bit of further of what she offers. And, of course, she will be at the Louise Hay I Can Do It conference May 1st to May 3rd in the Western School of Feng Shui booth. You can contact her there also, or go to her website, strategiesforwellbeing.com. Shiva, it's been great to have you here.
Thank you, Michelle. This was really fun.
Yeah, it was great. Bring you back on, and maybe we'll play on air with some of some interplane work or something too.
That would be great.
That'd be great, yeah. And just, again, strategiesforwellbeing.com, that's the best way to get in touch with you, and you have the obviously the email is there also, and your phone
right.
number.
Right, and my phone number, right. And it's an interesting way how I work with people. We're going to be working outdoors, mm-hmm. which we didn't touch on. I'm going to work in nature with people.
Oh, wonderful.
The sessions will be in nature.
Wonderful.
Which, that's a whole other conversation.
I know. We'll have to have you back.
Thank you, Michelle.
Great to talk to you, Shiva.
Great to talk to you, too, and blessings to you.
Blessings to you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. All right. So that was Shiva Coles from strategiesforwellbeing.com. You can connect with her via her website. Once again, everyone, thanks for connecting in on Awakenings and being part of the Converging Flow. It's wonderful that you're recognizing and realizing that it's your life. It's, you know, all of our life individually. So the more that we can walk this path, a little more joy, a little more light, just makes it all the better, makes it even more fun than we could have even imagined. That's what I find when we tap into that expanded consciousness, expanded mind, the situation is even better than what we could have envisioned. All right, so next time, until next time, just shine your light and keep awake. A Little Pure Energy by Beth Mee. And Awakening can be listened to here on radio every Wednesday, Friday, 12 p.m. Pacific. You can also listen live via CosmicDimensions.com, as well as other podcast stations and iTunes. If you'd like to be part of the updates, you can text me for updates at Awakening Suite. You can email me at Michelle@selfandlight.com as well if you'd like to be on the newsletter list. And just remember your pure energy. You're exciting. Light and keep awake.
Ready? Okay.
We got paper. Yes, we do. Lysol, notebooks, pencils, glue. We got crayons, every hue. School supplies for your whole crew.
Target's got everything you need to ready, set, go back to school.
The summer's hottest concert series is back. Jazzin' at the Shed takes place every Wednesday night, now through September 13th at Shed Aquarium. Enjoy a night of live music from premier jazz musicians, breathtaking skyline views from Shed's lakeside terraces, food, drinks, 32,000 aquatic animals, and complete fireworks show. Tickets are on sale now at shedaquarium.org/jazzin'. Become a member today and receive free admission. Jazzin' at the Shed is sponsored by Chase.